This is the word of the Lord found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 26 and reading through verse 31. 1 Corinthians 1, starting with verse 26, reading through the end of the chapter. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Some of you may have picked up that the two kinds of wisdom that Brother Paul just declared unto us are in the verses that I read, and that covers one of the ones he referred to. There's two wisdoms here. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Not many wise men after the flesh. Remember the first wisdom in James there that he read us? That it was the wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, devilish. So that's wise men after the flesh. There is a viewpoint that's prevalent in this world because it is the viewpoint of the prince of this world. It's how to gain the most advantage, glory, and power for yourself. That's the viewpoint of the prince of this world, and that's why it's earthly, because he's confined to the earth. Sensual, because he operates through our senses when he communicates to us. And devilish, because he's the devil. Not many wise men after the flesh are called. You won't find the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ being primarily made of those who receive the admiration of this world. It wasn't so in the early days of the church. It is not so in the true church today. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There again, there's something about what God has chosen and the ones he's chosen to rejoice in him and worship him, spread his word, that is just not impressive to those that are considered wise in this world. It's just not the way God has bestowed the gifts of life and revelation among his people. It says here, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Do you remember whom God chose to follow Jesus Christ and turn the world upside down? Some Galilean fishermen, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and a publican, a despised tax collector, Matthew, who's also called Levi, men that when finally they began to be noticed, people took note that they were ignorant and unlearned men who had been with Jesus. So God chose, and these men turned the world upside down. I mean, consider, we who, very few of us have much Jewish heritage, how many of us talk about, I escaped by the skin of my teeth? That's in the book of Job. How many of us will say, that guy's as big as Goliath? That's in the book of Samuel. You ever considered how much this culture that we live in is influenced by the Bible? Now, there's a concerted effort to remove that influence, but even still, the residual effects of the Bible in this society are considerable. Why? Because some ignorant and unlearned men that nobody took note of, nobody would have been impressed by, spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, and then after he died and rose from the dead, went out and declared the victory of Jesus Christ. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. But then it says, but of him, that is of God, are you in Christ Jesus? You ever wonder how somebody gets to be in Jesus Christ? It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Some people feel like they need to work their way into Christ. Some people think that you believe your way into Christ. But the Bible teaches that you are chosen in Christ before creation. Now, a lot of people will say, well, God, being omniscient, looked forward in the future and saw who would accept him and obey him. Well, he looked forward in the future and he saw that, but that still wasn't the basis for him choosing. As a matter of fact, he looked down from heaven and saw that all had fallen short. There were none that seeked after God. There were none that understood. There was no fear of God before their eyes, and he chose them in spite of what they would do and believe, not because of what they would do and believe. He chose them of his own sovereign good pleasure. And so now we read this, but of him, that is of God, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. If you want to know why you have a hope in Jesus Christ, is because God put you in Jesus Christ. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. That's just what Brother Paul declared to us. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. Now, if the wisdom of this world is the viewpoint of the prince of this world, how to get an advantage over people, how to get around them, how to get over them, how to play things for your own welfare, how to get your own pleasure, your own power, your own fame. The wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, devilish. The wisdom which is from above is Jesus Christ. The viewpoint of God is personified and shown in human terms in the life of the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. He's made unto us wisdom. And as has just been declared to us, let me ask this question. Is that wisdom which is from above? Oh, Jesus Christ said that. I came down from heaven not to do my own will. He came from above. That wisdom which is from above, is it first pure? Is Jesus Christ pure? Absolutely. Absolutely. What did God say of him at his baptism? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What did he say on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus Christ never committed a sin. He never spoke sinful words. He never thought sinful thoughts. You say, what then does he have in common with me? He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He became weary when he worked hard. He became hungry when he went a long time without eating. He became thirsty after a long, hot journey. He became sad and shed tears when a friend died. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The wisdom that is from above is pure. And because he was pure, when the hour came and he went to the cross, the sacrifice he offered when he shed his blood, and then when he poured out his life in the darkness, in payment for our sins, I want you to know that sacrifice was holy and acceptable unto God because Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, was pure. He was pure. no sin found in him, no guile found in him, no displeasure to God. He went there as a human being, shed human blood, but he went there as what a human being ought to be. There is only one normal human being in all of human history since Adam fell. There's only one normal person. That's Jesus Christ. That is what humanity is supposed to be. And by the grace of God, that's what all of God's children will be. He hath predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross as pure, as a pure sacrifice. Was He peaceable? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of His cross. Peace with whom? With God on our behalf. When the angels sang the day of His birth and the shepherds were listening to the heavenly host, what did they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But then when the Lord Jesus Christ was grown and went into His ministry, He said, suppose ye that I am come to bring peace? I say unto you, nay, rather a sword. For the father shall be divided from the son-in-law, and the mother from the daughter-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. Well, Lord, put that together. How is it the angels are singing, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, and you say you've come to bring a sword and there's going to be division? Well, those that followed the Lord Jesus Christ in the early days and even to this present day often find themselves at odds with loved ones who don't believe in Him. They often find themselves disagreeing with family members, with friends. As a matter of fact, many will think that, remember what happened to the Apostle Paul? He was well established in his own career, much respected, but when he started preaching Jesus Christ, after meeting Jesus Christ, folks started trying to kill him. That's what happened. So what is this glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men? The peace that the Lord Jesus Christ made on earth is because of His sacrifice on the cross in the dark, to the point He said it is finished. Jesus Christ made peace with God for all of God's children. And here's just a wonderful thing in the gospel. Child of God, from a legal, righteous basis, that which establishes your home in heaven, God has nothing against you at all now because of Jesus Christ. God has peace with you. Will He chastise you as a good father? Yes, He will. Will He reward you when you obey as a good father? Yes, He will. But will He ever hold your sins against you to cast you away from His presence forever and deny you a place in heaven and glory? No, He won't. You know why? Because glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God has peace with you, and that peace was established. It was locked in, it was finalized, it was made secure, and nothing can be taken from it. From the moment the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished, God's peace with you is forever established. Now, here's the big question. And here's where the gospel, part of the function of the gospel. Do you have peace with God? And I expect sometimes the answer is yes, but I expect many times the answer is no. You know what you need to have peace with God? Therefore, by faith, do we have peace with God and are justified before Him? That is, in our perception, when you believe the truth of what He has done, there's a peace. And by faith, we have access to that grace wherein we stand. You see, what God has already done for you, He has peace with you. He's already got you standing in grace. You're in grace. But here's the thing you need to do by faith. You need to humble yourself and bow down into that cool water of grace and bring it up and drink of it and splash it on your face and bathe in it so that you have access by faith into that grace wherein you stand. Another place that's taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Well, God was in Jesus Christ. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. And when he died on the cross, the world of God's people, that world that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, was reconciled unto God. But then Paul said, now are we ambassadors for Christ? That is, we're representatives. And we beseech you, brethren, be ye reconciled unto God. God has peace with you. Will you have peace with him? And will you be, as just has been taught, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated? You follow the Prince of Peace. One of the best ways to do that is to be pure and peaceable yourself. What did the Lord teach his disciples? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Did the Lord Jesus Christ say, blessed are the peacemakers, for that's how you get to be among the children of God? How do you get to be the children of God? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. That's how you get to be the children of God, is by grace and grace alone. How do you get to be called and recognized and perceived as the children of God? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'd like that. I want that for me. I want that for you. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let's try to be more pure as he is totally pure. Let's try to be more peaceable as he is totally peaceable. Let's try to be more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, how we are surrounded by information and data these days. How much it flows, Lord, through paper and through electronics and so many ways, dear Father. But we know, Lord, that much that is viewed as wisdom is the wisdom of this world. Help us, Lord, to not treasure the wisdom of this world, but to treasure the wisdom that is from above, O God. We know that it will be not for our glory, but we know, Lord, that that wisdom from above is so good. It's so good, O Lord. Help us, therefore, to purify ourselves with that hope which is within us, dear God. Help us, O Lord, to be peacemakers. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to have a lifelong conversation with you, dear Lord, and walk side by side with you and grow close as we await to go into your presence. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.